Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The basis of my message this morning are words from John the Baptist. It says this in Matthew chapter 3, verse 8, "Bear fruit in keeping with repentance," John says. Dear friends, what kind of test takers are you? I grew up in a family with parents that were school teachers, and they explained to me often that there were two kinds of test takers. There were those test takers who were diligent in class. They took notes. When the bell rang, they were willing to go up to the teacher to ask questions, to clarify what was said in class. They went home and did their homework. When the day of the test, the final exam would come, that my parents would say, the test was just not a big deal. The journey of learning was sweet and smooth. The test was just a formality of all that had been taken in the weeks leading up to that exam. And my parents would pause and they'd say, that's the kind of test taker we want you to be. Then there's the other kind of test taker. They don't really take good notes in class. When the bell rings, they're headed out to the playground to play basketball. They don't do their homework and turn it in on time. Then when the day of the test comes, it's like everything is just thrown into chaos. Chaos because they've got to cram everything into their minds heading into that test. They drink Coca-Cola and try to stay up all night till 2 a.m. in the morning, and they cram all sorts of information into their mind, only to just dump it out about an hour after the test happens. The test is terrifying. The learning process isn't all that great. My parents would pause and say, Jeremy, that's not the kind of test taker we want you to be. So what kind of test taker did I develop? What habits did I develop? I actually was the latter one. I apologize. We have a lot of school teachers here this morning. I apologize to all of you. I was that guy that stayed up late at night till 2 a.m. in the morning and drank Coca-Cola. I'm sorry, Kay. It's just true. That's what happened. What kind of test taker are you? John the Baptist this morning is relating that there's an exam that is coming when he relates that there is one who is coming who is greater than I, he says in our text. Now that's not so much the test, but did you hear the other details that he shared, especially in verse 12, in which he says, this one that's greater than I, he has a winnowing fork in his hand. The winnowing fork was a tool that was used around Jesus' time to really separate produce that was good and could be eaten from chaff, that which was not to be used, that needed to be thrown away. It was like a fork-like shovel that could be used to separate those two items. And this one holding the winnowing fork would bring an unquenchable fire, it says in verse 12. And as you look at the Greek on that, what that fire, it's an intense word that really suggests nothing is left. It's a scary image that's shared here by John the Baptist. This is a scary test that is coming. And it all reminds me of how I started my sermon here this morning. If you're prepped for a test and ready to take it, the test goes by just fine. Snap of a finger. So what we have in the Bible is we have a God who is sending all sorts of prophets like Amos and Joel and Isaiah. We're reading a lot of prophets right now. And they came to tell the people, be prepped and ready. Lots of repentance themes here in the prophets, in the Bible. And John the Baptist is that last prophet that God sends to tell the people, hey, be prepped and ready. A test is coming. Bearing fruit by repenting, the text says. Repentance is the tool that we use to prep ourselves for the test. Practice repentance, the test will be easy. Don't practice repentance, the test becomes challenging and terrifying. The word for repentance in the Greek literally means what it says is metanoia, which means a change of mind. It can also mean going in one direction and realizing you're not going the right direction. You've got to change directions completely. It means taking responsibility. Nobody likes that. It's not that we just don't like taking responsibility, admitting that we're wrong. It's actually that we have little messages that's shared into our ears, telling us, "Don't take responsibility, don't do it." Stories told of Scott Waddell. This is a true story. He was a Navy commander back in 2001, in charge of a nuclear submarine that was floating under the surface in waters off of Japan. And Scott gave the command for an emergency maneuver for that submarine to come out of the waters and surface off of Japan and the waters that just right off the country. And the submarine did that, came out of the water, you may recall the story, and it hit a Japanese fishing boat. And in that collision, 9 people lost their lives. Now, the good part of that story is that Scott Waddell, in front of a jury, took responsibility and said that it was his fault. But what's interesting about that story is finding out the details that were happening behind Scott's admission of fault. You see, he was being pressured by his lawyers not to take responsibility, that it would ruin his career. And I sometimes think life for us is lived out in a similar way. It's as if there are lawyers whispering in our ears, "Don't take responsibility. Don't repent. Blame somebody else," or deflect the problem onto somebody else, that they caused the problem.